So we covered mercury, and you know, if you have the filling, get it out, find someone who knows what they're doing. Let's just talk about root canal. So you have something that's, you know, you have, you know, your teeth are decaying here. You know, what do you do? Do you pull them?
Oh, no, only if you're interested in your health.
Okay.
Okay. But it's not just a matter of removing the tooth, because a lot of the bacteria are in that ligament that I described, you know, where the fibers come together. And there are more bacteria in that ligament than there are in the tooth itself. So you have to, I somewhat renegade, silly, but nobody ever forgets it. I tell the dentist, pick up the patient by the heels and shake them for 5 minutes. In other words, make that socket bleed for 5 minutes. Don't bite down on a piece of gauze like they teach you in school, because that just confines the bacteria in the bone, because the bone is saturated with the same bugs. There's no way you can go into a canal and clean through the periodontal ligament into the bone and clean that out for an inch past the tooth. But you can, in taking the tooth out, allow it to bleed for 5 minutes, and you know, maybe you lose a tablespoon of blood, big deal. But it does clean things out that bacteria, that antibiotics would have a very hard time and take many months to clean up. So there are a lot of little procedures here that have to be done, because you know, if all the procedures are accomplished, we can turn around things like multiple sclerosis over 85% of the time. Even Lou Gehrig's disease, which is absolutely incurable and it is fatal, and you know, start digging your own hole. That, you know, we don't have that good a percentage, but this year we may hit 15% turnaround, which is a whole lot better than zero. But we have just found a bacteria recently that is so rare, don't even bother looking for it, you're not going to find it. Well, it looked like it might be related to Lou Gehrig's disease, so first patient we checked, we found it. One chance in a million, but we found it. Well, so I checked in the next patient. Guess what? We found it again over there. So then with the third patient, we found it again. So far, we have found it 17 for 17 times. So does this mean there's a possibility that this particular bacteria is a major factor in catching Lou Gehrig's disease? Yeah, it just may. And killing him off is kind of a trick, too. So all these things have to be put together in order to get the diseases to turn around. It is not just a matter of yanking out a bunch of fillings.
And have you checked other patients who don't have it to see if they have that bacterium as well?
No.
Okay. Let me ask you this: with the root canal, your teeth is pulled. Now, what if someone's a little bit vain? Do you put a replacement tooth in there, or?
Oh, yeah, a replacement
Okay.
tooth can be put in a few minutes after the tooth is removed. You know, let it
Right.
go through its 5 minute bleeding cycle, then get a decent clot formation in there, and then you can, there's a removable temporary partial that you can get and just snap it into place, and it's functional and aesthetic. It looks like the rest of your teeth, or sometimes you can put a tooth in there and bond it, which is like glue it to the teeth on either side. It's a temporary procedure. It's not going to last forever, but at least it gives you 3 to 6 months for everything to heal before you put in a permanent bridge or a permanent partial denture.
Any issues with bridges or dentures?
Well, it depends on what they're made out of. Now, there's one thing, you know, everybody thinks the denture has to be pink, because our tissues are pink. Well, what do they use to make the color pink? Mercury. You gotta take out the mercury and put in a source of mercury. That's not too smart. So we make sure that they are made out of clear acrylic, so they're colorless. You see through them, and it looks pink. Now, sometimes on a full denture, I will suggest going in and putting maybe a quarter of an inch of the pink acrylic right around the front teeth, so it doesn't like your teeth are floating in the air. And then the rest of it, the other 99%, is all clear acrylic, and it's not going to contaminate you.
There's a lot of people in say the natural health world. They say if you get a cavity, you know, it doesn't make sense to drill it out or anything like that. What do you do if you have a cavity? Can they heal themselves?
Well, I've heard rumor of it once in a while. I know that Weston Price saw that back in the 1920s, where there were some islands he'd visited looking for what is the perfect diet, where you practically live till you die. You know, you're in good health, and then you get sick and die over a period of a short period of time. Well, that's the way to go. And he got permission to dig up skulls there and found one cavity per 1,000 teeth at the time of death. So, yeah, you can live your life without a cavity. However, in these islands, they got to doing some trading and trading for sugar. And all of a sudden, there was a whole lot of decay that showed up. And then they stopped the trading, and the decay was still black, but it turned solid. Well, they have a little different diet from what we have here. They had no fast foods. Everything was raised and eaten fresh. And, you know, pick it right out of the garden, pick it right off the tree. So it's not the same as we have here. So turning around decay is possible, but you might have to move to the Samoan Islands and live by yourself to have that happen. So as a compromise to that, you can scoop out the decay and put in something safe, like mercury or nickel or beryllium or uranium or something of this nature. Uranium is something they use on the porcelain crowns, by the way. That's not such a far-fetched comment. But if you're living in the, quote, civilized world, then you have to find a material that your immune system can get along with, and all the materials you put in are going to challenge the immune system to some extent. But, you know, if it's challenged the immune system to a tenth of 1% of its horsepower, no big deal. So you can find filling materials that can be used, but it takes a blood test to identify which filling materials those are.
One last thing about kind of just dental protocol. When I go into a cleaning, you know, I use a holistic dentist now, but before I was wondering, you know, what they were putting on my teeth, the toothpaste and the scrubs and all that sort of stuff. What should your dentist be using when they're doing types of cleanings and just general kind of cosmetic?
Well, the simpler the materials you use, just the pumice and glycerin together are good enough for polishing the teeth. But the gums are probably more important than the teeth at that time. And when you clean your teeth, if you see a drop of blood, that means there is a two-way street. If blood can come out, bacteria can go in. Well, bacteria have a little secret here. Bacteria living in the mouth, where, are you familiar with the term pH, the acid content?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
If the pH is about 6 to 7 in the mouth, these bacteria are very happy. But they get into the bloodstream where the blood is a pH of 7.3, which is just barely above neutral. That turns on genes that are not turned on in the mouth, and all of a sudden that friendly bacteria becomes a pathological, disease-producing bacteria. And that's something that has not been understood until recently. That, well, you know, they're in their mouth, they're harmless. Well, no, they're not. If you do something like mess up some of the gums with too heavy of flossing or brushing or having your teeth clean. Now, there's a way out here. For 3 days before having your teeth clean, let's get rid of that bacteria. And I have been amazed at the result that we get here. The periodontists are getting pretty unhappy with me because it costs them about $6,000 every time I tell somebody about this. Very simple. Just take a 50-50 mixture of salt and soda. And if you want to get real picky about it, there are certain types of salt and certain types of soda that work better. And you put about a half a teaspoon in your mouth and swish it around. You'll salivate right away. And maybe you know, a teaspoon of warm water. And then aggressively flush that between the teeth. You know, just if you get the idea. Really aggressive. You're not just gently rinsing, but you are forcing that in between the teeth. And these pockets will go from 4 to 6 millimeters down to 2 in 3 months if you do that. But if you do that 2 or 3 days before having your teeth cleaned, you've killed a lot of the bacteria so that when the hygienist cleans your teeth, those bacteria are not going directly into your bloodstream.
Yeah. And just to clarify, with soda, you mean baking soda, yes?
Yes. And they do make baking soda without aluminum. You have to get it off the web. But the aluminum, we've always already talked about aluminum being pretty aggressive, almost as aggressive as mercury. So you can get that, and do not use sea salt. That's okay. A very short answer that could be extremely long. But if you want to take my word for it, the best one to use is Morton's pickling and canning salt. It has no aluminum, has no other minerals in it that are going to be toxic to you.
Right.
Just 50-50 mixture of salt and baking soda, in particular if it's that type of salt, that type of baking soda, then those gums heal up so fast that it makes your head spin. Really makes the periodontist unhappy, but it protects you when you're having your teeth cleaned because they're not going to bleed as much, you're not going to have as much bacteria in there. So tooth cleaning will be a much safer process if you do that.
Is that something you can do once a week as well?
Well, I do it every day.
Okay, great.
Of course, I don't like to go to the dentist.
And it's hard to do.
I know what those guys do to you.
It's hard to do procedures on yourself, too.
But if you do that first thing in the morning, you know, you wake up sometimes and it tastes like a mouse crawled in your mouth and died during the night. Well, that smell is going to stay there all day. But if you rinse aggressively with salt and soda, you got a clean breath the rest of the day.
Mm, that's great. You know, there's some
cheaper than mouthwashes.
There's a lot of questions about the relationship between candida and mercury. Can you tell me what you found?
Yes. Oh, did you want me to actually tell you?
Please.
Okay. Yeah, this is kind of a weird one because candida has two forms. You know, it has the yeast form and has the fungal form. Well, candida is there to save your life. Can you believe that? Because if you have mercury running around your mouth, there are certain bacteria are going to convert that to methyl mercury, which is 100 times more dangerous than the original mercury vapor that's sitting around there. Candida reverses that process and gets rid of the methyl mercury, converting it back to mercury, which is still pretty dangerous, but only 1/100th as dangerous. So this is why some people go on the candida diet and become sicker than they were to start with. Because candida in the yeast form is getting rid of the methyl mercury form of mercury. But if it turns into the fungal form, hey, anything from cancer on up, it's involved with. We find it as one of the top 10 microbes in most of the degenerative diseases. So there is a balance point here at which you want to keep it under control so it is there to help you, and it does not convert into the fungal form. And this involves balancing the body chemistry, which is a, I have taught an 8-day course in it. I don't think we have time to cover all that right now. But
no, we don't.
Yeah, you can build up the resistance of the body so that it does not allow the conversion into the fungal form. But using drugs to get rid of it is kind of sidestepping the major issue. Major issue is finding what's called the ancestral diet. And this is not your blood type. This is the foods that your ancestors were eating 2,000 years ago. And when you are eating the foods your ancestors were eating back then when your genetics was formed, and I'm eating my ancestral diet, we will have identical blood chemistries. Though you may be eating 2 ounces of protein a day and I may be eating 16 ounces, we'll end up with the same amount of protein in the serum because some people require a lot more than other people. But monitoring the blood chemistry gives you a guide. So it's not a religion. It's not your religion versus my religion. It's, hey, here's your blood, and it says this is what you need. You changed it, and you overshot the mark, undershot the mark, or you're right on the mark. So blood chemistry, to me, is the most valuable way to determine how much carbohydrate, protein, and fat do you need. What do you need for detoxification? Each one of us is different in our requirements, but the final blood chemistry would be identical for all of us if we were perfect.
Hmm. Well, we identified mercury as, I would say, maybe a bad guy here, whether it's from your mouth or just from the environment around us. What are some of like the keystones of detoxification? So I understand that you know, you look at your blood test as a baseline, and that's something that we speak about very, very strongly. So we're definitely in alignment with that. But what are some of the keystone points of detoxification?
Are you ready for this?
I am ready.
Okay. The number one best detoxifier in the body is a protein called albumin. The number two best detoxifier is called cholesterol. Cholesterol has been given this black eye for years, but that is strictly a financial thing. It has nothing to do with what you see in the real scientific literature, the literature the cardiologists read and all that. But, you know, what we do, we look at television, we say, oh, your cholesterol gets up to one point, you're going to die. Well, there is a perfect point for cholesterol, and that is 222 milligrams per cent. And the, quote, normal range, I mean, I started doing this 44 years ago, back in 1968, and the ranges then were a whole lot different from what they are now. And this is primarily political and payoff. But if you balance a person's chemistry and you get rid of the stuff in the mouth, the high levels of any of the chemistries come down, the low levels come up, and they will seek the same level, whether you are man, woman, child, let's make that maybe above 6 or 7 years old. Babies have a little bit different chemistry. But you have a target regardless of race, religion, creed, all that sort of thing. Humans have what I call a stability range and a stability point within that. And the idea that males have a range and females have a different range, that goes right out the window if you take the amalgams and root canals out of the mouth. Male and female ranges become identical. It's just that males process toxicity different from the way females do. But the albumin, and here we go stepping on some people's toes, albumin has to come of animal source. So if a vegetarian tries to build up a good protein level, you know, they can live a perfectly normal life unless they get a challenge. If they get a challenge, there's nothing I can do to correct that because the albumin has to come of animal source. And sometimes you find a vegetarian with a real great protein level. Where did they get it? They're cannibalizing their bodies. So they are staying alive at the expense of muscle tissue that's already been built up. So we have to consider what a person's diet is, what their chemistries are, and put all of that together before we consider outside detoxification. We have to have the cholesterol around 222 and the albumin around 4.6 grams. And then we can get some benefit from detoxification. Remembering that detoxification is retoxification. that as you remove these things, a lot of the chelation does this. Sometimes this gives us a problem because if a little bit's good, a lot is what? More better.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, detoxification is easy. That's releasing the heavy metals and the toxins in the body. That's easy to do. The difficult part is elimination. The liver and the kidney have to get rid of this stuff. They have one speed. And if you detox twice as fast as you were, that doesn't mean that you can eliminate twice as fast. So what you're doing is redistributing. Just because you take mercury out of the arm bone and stick it in the brain does not mean that you have healed a patient. So detoxification is a very delicate, dangerous process. It's about third or fourth biggest headache that we have to work with is over-detoxification with too much, too strong, damaging the kidney too much. It looks like it's a real simple procedure, and it is not a simple procedure, and it is not as safe as it's cracked up to be.
Some of the advocates of, say, Weston A. Price Foundation, or on the opposite, say, maybe a vegan China study, T. Colin Campbell kind of realm, will say that on both ends, high cholesterol, 300, 400, doesn't matter as long as your ratio is okay. And then on the other side, the vegan side, you can be at 110 or something like that, and your cholesterol is fine. What do you think about that?
Well, if you had 110, I'd say you got cancer growing someplace or another, because cholesterol is one of the best defenses against cancer. And when you get down to 125 or 120, someplace in there, it may not have been identified yet, but you've certainly got the environment for it. But if you look at the body's ability to detox, well, let's just take something like the brain. What's a brain made out of? About 35% or so, it's cholesterol. So if you lower your cholesterol, you're losing brains. The nervous system, well, your cells are basically 60% protein, 40% fat. Until you get to something like the nervous system, and there the fat content of the myelin sheath and those things, the fatty portion, is 75%. Plus the real important thing, that nutrients are not absorbed unless they are in conjunction with fat for the most part. So low-fat diet means low nutrients, means sick people. But if we have somebody with a low cholesterol, we're not going to do much good for them if I can't get it out. Now, dropping a high cholesterol, if you're up in the 300 and 400 range, this means that you're alive because your cholesterol is trying to detoxify you from something. If you don't find the something and eliminate it, then the cholesterol just keeps climbing up, trying to keep you alive. But when you remove the toxin, then it drops. It is not unusual in those high levels, 300 and 400, to drop the cholesterol 100 points in 1 week. That's pretty common, but to take a low cholesterol and bring it up, oh, man, is that hard work. Because I want to get it up above 200 at least if I'm going to be able to absorb the proper nutrients, and this we see by monitoring the blood chemistry. If you don't get all the chemistries lined up, you don't have a well-functioning body. So, you're never going to get everybody into a perfect position. If you do, they can take over God's job. But you have a target, and it is not, occasionally it's a range, but it's not a very wide range. Sometimes it is, like with cholesterol, a point. Like with albumin, a point, 4.6, maybe 4.7. But with albumin, you're looking at grams, where with most of the chemistries, we're looking at milligrams. There's a 1,000-to-1 difference between the two. But you've got to get the albumin up to a reasonable level before you think about detoxifying. Otherwise, detoxification becomes re-toxification.
Well, this has been great. Well, it does make sense, and I have a feeling that we're going to get a lot of questions about it. So maybe we'll have to do a follow up some other time to make sure that we get a lot of the questions answered, because this is information that I have a feeling some of our listeners may have not heard before. So I think that it's great to hear it now, because it's so important in these times when there is a lot of toxicity around from all different sources. So,
and the
Dr. Huggins.
Do a whole lot but give you drugs to cover up the symptoms. And the people who listen to you are probably interested in finding the causes.
Yeah. So, Dr. Huggins, we are running out of time here. I just wanted to ask you how someone can find more information about you, how they can get involved with what you're doing, if you have a newsletter, or how someone can learn more.
Now, we are getting ready to start putting, a lot of people say they want to learn the technology. You know, doctors want to learn this technology I've developed over 40-some years. So we are going to put that on one of these television programs where you put the nickel in and you see it as many times as you want for a week.
Yeah.
That's something that probably by the end of summer, maybe before, we will have available. We do have a bunch of books. We do have what's called the ASSIST report that takes the blood chemistries, hair analysis, and a questionnaire, puts it together, and prints out a 120-page report on what it takes to balance your chemistry. So those are the things that are available today. And in the future, hopefully we'll have this stuff on the pay-per-view type television programs.
Great. And they can find information at drhuggins.com about that?
drhuggins.com would be a good place to start, or calling the 866-948-4638. There are some people who answer that phone. Operators are standing by. Well, actually, they're sitting. But they're available. And we do have several books that you haven't mentioned that are good.
And what are the names of those?
I'm sorry?
And what are the names of those as well?
Solving the MS Mystery is one. And one that is a cookbook, but it tells you how to interpret some chemistries, is called Finding Your Ancestral Diet. I think you did mention Uninformed Consent and All in Your Head. Those are kind of the flagship ones. And then we do have a two-hour thing on cholesterol if somebody is interested in DVDs. We've got a whole bunch of stuff that's available from the standpoint of education.
Well, great. Well, maybe that's a good way to answer some of the questions that you have for who are listening now about the cholesterol that Dr. Huggins just talked about. So, well, Dr. Huggins, this has been fantastic. I really appreciate your time.
Well, I appreciate your helping us generate awareness, Kevin. That's what my life's all about now.
And this is what we do. So if you're listening out there and you want any more information about Dr. Huggins and what he's done, go to www.drhuggins.com. That's drhuggins.com with a D-R. And or call the number, but you can find some of this information. I recommend getting one of the books, or maybe even checking out the DVD on cholesterol. That's something I'm actually interested in, so I have a feeling I'm going to go run over there and get it before you guys get all of them. But
and they can tell you here what the website is for Panama for that dentistry down there. They're very high quality. Usually they're U.S. trained, or they are board certified in one of the areas down there. But Panama is about half what it is here for good quality dentistry that is done according to the protocol that I've developed over these years.
And that is fantastic. Well, again, Dr. Huggins, thank you. And to everyone else out there, this has been Kevin Gianni from Renegade Health. I hope that you enjoyed spending time with us. We know how important your time is, and we appreciate you taking it to be with us. We will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.